On the new Classical FM, soprano Anna Prohaska in the title role from Purcell's Dido and Aeneas with Il Giardino Armonico. She was singing Dido's first aria, Ah, Belinda, I am pressed with torment. This is Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. Anna Prohaska has forged a formidable career with an extraordinary stylistic range from early 17th century music up until the present day. And in addition to the famed Italian early music group, she has worked with Nicholas Harnoncourt's Concertus Musicus Vienna and the Academy for Alte Musik Berlin. She's appeared on an exhaustive list of the world's great symphony orchestra stages and with premier opera houses around the world, including Covent Garden and the Berlin State Opera, which has been her artistic home since the tender age of 23. She is fresh off of receiving the Opus Classic Female Singer of the Year Award in Berlin for her collaborative recording with violinist Patricia Kopanchinskaya and Camerata Bern called Maria Mater Meritrix, and she is soon to make her first appearance at Roy Thomson Hall as one of this year's TSO Spotlight Artists in the program John Adams Returns, and she joins me now. Anna Prohaska, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hello, I'm so thrilled to be on the program.
And congratulations on the honors. What does the Opus Classic Award mean to you?
It's an incredible honor because it was quite a difficult project to realize financially for such a small orchestra. And we managed to put a tour together. We managed to record it in a very difficult winter period full of illness and with various kind of date shifts and stuff. And in the end, it came together beautifully. And I'm just so delighted to also share this with my friend Patrizia, who I've also been working with a lot since then. So yeah, it's just a wonderful communal project that was accoladed here last weekend.
This is your first time on Sunday Night at the TSO, so we're going to get to know you with a few questions. Are you ready?
Wonderful. Excellent.
Who's your favorite composer at the moment and why?
Oh gosh, this is so difficult. I suppose it might be Claude Debussy, because funnily enough, I've encountered him quite a lot recently. I did an exhibition opening for the Gauguin exhibition in Vienna a couple of weeks back, where I sang some beautiful songs of his from the Prose Lyrique, where he wrote his own texts. I will be singing John Adams's orchestrations of Le Livre de Baudelaire in Toronto. And I've just sung a Debussy aria from one of his earlier works, Prodigue, at the Opus Classic Awards. So somehow I'm sort of floating in this gorgeous symbolist impressionist Debussy world at the moment.
Floating sounds like the right verb there. What's a favorite city you performed in?
Oh, this is so difficult. I mean, perhaps because I'm half English and I have this fabulously huge family in England or in the British Isles, wherever I go. I suppose London and perhaps the Wigmore Hall, because it's got such a wonderful, intimate, but also at the same time, very supportive, boomy, churchy acoustic without losing the clarity of text. And that's extremely rare, I think, in concert halls and opera houses.
What's your favorite type of food or cuisine?
I probably, since I'm in Paris, I'll say French, but I also love Italian as well. So yeah, I'm sort of torn between French and Italian, I think.
If you could master one instrument that you don't already play, what would it be?
Well, since I have a high voice, I always feel quite drawn to the lower sort of instruments, like in the baritone range. So I would say cello or bassoon, one of the two. I love woodwind instruments and feel very close. They're very close to my heart because it's just very similar. They have like external vocal cords in their reed. So yeah, maybe I'll pick bassoon.
Have you ever been to Toronto?
I have actually, very briefly, for one night before a flight back to Europe, because I was performing with the Les Violons du Roi and Bernard Labadie in Quebec City in Montreal. And then I decided to spend the night in Toronto just before on my way back. I went to the wonderful art galleries and just walked around town. And unfortunately, my rental car was towed, so I had to pick that up. One of my most vivid Toronto memories.
Well, we hope that you develop a plethora of much more pleasant ones in your upcoming visits. Tell us a bit about what brought you into music. What inspired you to pursue life as a singer?
I think it was, in a sense, unavoidable. It's a little bit like a family curse or a family virus that we have, because my great-grandfather was a composer, my grandfather was a conductor, my dad was an opera director, and my older brother is a singer. My mum was a singer, her sisters were singers, her mum was a singer. It's just unavoidable and actually quite boring in our family. You know, sometimes I think, why couldn't there be some architects or, you know, tax advisors or something useful in the family? So I suppose since I have had piano lessons, ballet lessons from a very early age onwards, and I always sang in children's and youth choirs and sort of developed the opportunities to sing solos, you know, enabled by wonderful teachers and a wonderful organist in our local parish. So it wasn't all to do with family, but also with general influences that I had growing up in Vienna and Berlin.
Tell us what some of your career highlights have been so far.
Yeah, I suppose just generally being a member of the Berlin Staatsoper, the state opera, Unter den Linden, which was the ex-East Berlin opera house, a very prestigious, golden, beautiful, historical opera house on more of the east side of town. And it was a very exciting period. I started singing there in the early 2000s with more alternative projects, for example, a world premiere based on Jonathan Safran Foer's texts and composed by various composers, so various fragments. That was very exciting, which then enabled me to audition for the Big House, and then I got the place and the ensemble there to work also, amongst others, with Daniel Barenboim. I did piano recitals with Mr. Barenboim in chamber music. That was definitely also a highlight. I suppose also my working relationship with the Berlin Philharmonic and Sir Simon Rattle and Claudio Abbado. And then something also quite personally exciting was my very first trip to South America, to Venezuela, to work with the Simon Bolivar Orchestra with Claudio Abbado singing the Lulu Suite and the Pamina aria. Also personally very exciting, since I'd never been to South America before, and just to work with this incredible El Sistema project was and just to sense this enthusiasm and passion of the young kids that had basically been picked off the streets to play classical music together. That's just an incredible project.
I mentioned in introducing you your incredible range, stylistically speaking. What's the secret behind being so flexible and so adaptable?
Thank you so much. I suppose it's to do with the fact that I had a very, very intense private musical training by a family friend who was a conductor and a composer, Eberhard Klorke. And from about 15 years onwards, I would study with him at home, and he and his wife would put on these soirees for their friends, just 20, 25 people sitting very, very close, at close range. And it was very, very nerve-wracking and exciting to do. And I would perform Alban Berg songs, Bach arias, Schubert songs, Mussorgsky songs, read letters from Kandinsky to Schoenberg, and etc. So it was a real sort of salon type series that he would put on there. And I think that was this kind of experience of switching between the repertoire has always been part of my training and part of also my passion, what I love doing. And I love bringing, let's say, concert programs to the audiences, and maybe sort of there's a historical context, or there might be a female figure of history or of literature or of mythology that I would like to highlight. And similarly to art exhibitions, when they have, let's say, an art exhibition according to one particular theme, that's what I love curating also in my concert programs and CD albums. So yeah, I think it's just always been part of my career, and that's why I'm sort of used to switching between languages and styles.
I know everything from Cavalli up to John Adams coming up. It's quite extraordinary. You are one of the TSO Spotlight artists this year. You're making your TSO debut, which is exciting for us. What about working with this orchestra excites you the most?
Well, I have the impression that it's also an incredibly flexible body of sound and consists of very curious musicians. And I think that's something that I'm somehow always looking for in partners, within the musical partnerships that I foster and that I have. And it's just an incredible honor to be asked as spotlight artist in a town, in a city, and also with an orchestra that I've never worked with before. That's a huge amount of trust that is put into me. So yeah, I'm just generally thrilled to be allowed to perform in Toronto.
You were handpicked by music director Gustavo Gimeno as one of the spotlight artists. Tell us about how the two of you have crossed paths.
So interestingly, we've also never actually played a proper concert together, which is also really exciting. And I suppose to finally make it work, we just had to plan it really, really far in advance. I was artist in residence once with his orchestra or in his concert hall in Luxembourg a few years back. And unfortunately, he didn't have time during all the periods that I was there. So I always worked with other people. So now finally, we're going to join forces and work together. And now for the first time in Canada, which is amazing.
Well, we'll have to wait for March for that program, Mahler's Fourth. But coming up very soon, you'll be here for John Adams Returns. And that is, of course, the return of the influential composer and conductor. Have you worked with John Adams before?
No, I haven't. This is another first for me. So I'm very, very excited about this.
Tell us about the program. You're singing in two pieces. This is Prophetic from Nixon in China and Adams's arrangement, as you mentioned before, of Debussy's Le Livre de Baudelaire. What is the inspiration behind choosing these, or can you tell us the story behind these works?
I specifically chose, or I was allowed to choose, or at least suggest who I might want to work with during this season. And I'd never worked with John Adams before. I'd never sung a single work of his, unfortunately. So this was for me like a major challenge and a great opportunity to finally get that done and finally discover his works. And since I was talking about Debussy earlier, there aren't that many orchestral songs that he has written for the soprano voice. A lot of them are a little bit low, and most of his great soprano works are either a little bit choppy and not really sort of presentable as a concert aria, like Mélisande, for example, which I love as a role, but not suitable for the concert hall. But then also they're piano songs for soprano. So it was so great for me to discover that John Adams had arranged the Livre de Baudelaire for Debussy's five Baudelaire songs, which are based on Les Fleurs du Mal, these amazing symbolist texts, which consist of basically images from nature, so be it the sunlight or a fountain or the evening breeze, which basically in symbolism, also in paintings, represents the inner life of the artist or the lyrical ego that then sings the song or tells the poem. And John Adams has just basically hand-picked all these gorgeous orchestra colours, which he's such an incredible professional at. And they're just absolutely gorgeous. And I can't wait to perform them live for the first time. And Nixon in China was actually a suggestion of his. He asked me if I wouldn't mind listening to and looking at that aria. And I listened to it. I tried it out. Pat Nixon scene, this is Prophetic. And I felt it fits really nicely into the voice. And I just, decided, of course, I'd love to learn it for this program.
Well, it's very exciting, it sounds like, for you as well as for us. And Anna Prohaska, we wish you safe travels and we look forward to seeing you in Toronto very soon.
Thank you so much. I'm really, really looking forward. I can't wait.
That was celebrated soprano Anna Prohaska. She makes her debut as a TSO Spotlight artist in the program John Adams Returns, November 6th through 9th at Roy Thomson Hall. For information and tickets, go to tso.ca. And now let's hear from her recently lauded album, Maria Mater Meritrix. This is the opening track with violinist Patricia Kopaczynskaya. This is Holst's Jesus Suite.